You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
You always hear folklore, you hear horror stories and ghost stories. A lot of the ones told are true. I'm not worried about a ghost, but I worry about people.
This is Deadly Nightmares, a podcast where you'll hear the stories you've had nightmares about. It's dark. You're alone in the middle of nowhere, and there's someone following you.
There are evil people in this world. There just are. There are people who do evil things.
These are real life stories about murder and surprise attacks.
He went on his way, we so thought, and then we went on ours. But in reality, he really turned around and followed us up there.
Featuring direct audio from four classic ID shows, Dead Silent, Your Worst Nightmare, Home Alone, and Obsession, Dark Desires. You'll hear from experts and survivors.
It was just the flight reaction to, you know, get out of there as quickly as possible.
About the times when no one saw danger lurking.
One of the drawbacks to the serenity of the surroundings is you become very complacent, very comfortable.
Until it was too late.
There's no help coming from the outside world. No one's going to hear anything. No one can see anything.
These cases are more terrifying than any nightmare.
Please tell me we're not going to die. Please tell me we're not going to die.
Listen to Deadly Nightmares on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's something about me you don't know. During the day, I'm Anna Cat Walker.
Wearing?
Right. And at night, I am Amazing Woman.
So you're serious?
Oh, I married Amazing Woman!
My Amazing Woman, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Daddy-o.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you. As fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to episode 69 of the Forgotten News Podcast.
This is Jim.
Hi, this is Kit Karen.
But, unfortunately, our co-host Jessica will not be with us on this episode because of reasons beyond her control. Sorry about that.
Hey there, listeners. You might remember on our previous episode, we mentioned that our podcast had recently reached a few milestones. For example, this year is the 6th anniversary of our show, and that we have had over 200,000 downloads during that period. In addition, we have created a total of 69 episodes, including this one, and 24 mini-episodes and holiday specials. However, on the other hand, the vast majority of podcasts do not reach those kinds of numbers. For example, of the 3 million podcasts that are currently available on Apple, more than half are defunct. Most of them released only 1 to 10 episodes, then abruptly ended.
Typically, those podcasts ended because the hosts realized at some point that it takes a lot of time and energy to produce episodes and to grow an audience. Basically, a podcast is going to need a lot more than 1 to 10 episodes before you get a lot of listeners.
In addition, we have no doubt that some people launched a podcast in hopes of getting a free mattress or free money from advertisers. But when that didn't happen, they ended their podcast.
Also, there were a lot of podcasts that simply collapsed in 2020 during the height of the COVID crisis. And for all of those reasons, there are currently many fewer active podcasts in 2023 than there were 5 or 6 years ago.
However, one of the main reasons that some podcasts have abruptly ended, especially true crime and paranormal podcasts, is because they mistakenly decide to cover stories or topics which have been previously featured on dozens of other podcasts.
Now, that is something that we usually try to avoid on this show.
If something is popular, we don't want anything to do with it. Because we're quirky.
So
quirky.
And in keeping with our policy of featuring topics and stories that you are very unlikely to hear anywhere else, that is exactly what we are going to do on this episode.
So if you continue to listen, you'll be hearing about a true crime case, but the real mystery is the story behind the story. Specifically, the question of whether it really is a true crime case.
Now, we will get into our featured story in just a moment. However, as always, we will begin with a short advisory, because this topic might be emotionally triggering for some members of our audience.
This is a story that takes place in the late 19th century. It involves inflammatory issues of racial prejudice and accusations of rape.
So, for those reasons, as well as others, we will give the following additional warning.
If you are of a nervous or sensitive disposition, or get frightened easily, we advise you, calmly but sincerely, to simply turn off this episode now.
In addition, we do not recommend this story for children under the age of 13, because it could be upsetting or even frightening for young ears.
Parental discretion is strongly advised. Now, one more thing. The featured story will be told by a guest narrator, whose identity will be revealed afterward.
And with all of that having been said,
on with the show!
The following story is taken from a book called The Red Record written by Ida B. Wells and printed in 1895. According to the book, this story was published in the January 16, 1892 issue of a newspaper called the Cleveland Gazette. And with those details having been said, here is the story. Mrs. J. C. Underwood, the wife of a minister of Elyria, Ohio, accused an Afro-American of rape. She told her husband that during his absence in 1888, while he was stumping the state for the Prohibition Party, a man came to the kitchen door and forced his way in the house and insulted her. She tried to drive him out with a heavy poker from the fireplace, but he overpowered and chloroformed her, and when she revived, her clothing was torn and she was in a horrible condition. She did not know the man, but could identify him. She subsequently pointed out William Offit, a married man, who was arrested and put on trial. The prisoner vehemently denied the charge of rape, but confessed that he went to Mrs. Underwood's residence at her invitation and was criminally intimate with her at her request. This availed him nothing against the sworn testimony of a minister's wife and a lady of the highest respectability. He was found guilty and entered the penitentiary on December 14, 1888, for 15 years. Sometime afterwards, the woman's remorse led her to confess to her husband that the man was innocent. These are her words.
I met Offit at the post office. It was raining. He was polite to me, and as I had several bundles in my arms, he offered to carry them home for me, which he did. He had a strange fascination for me. I invited him to call on me. He called, bringing chestnuts and candy for the children. By this means, we got them to leave us alone in the room. Then I sat on his lap. He made a proposal to me, and I readily consented. Why I did so, I do not know, but that I did is true. He visited me several times after that, and each time I was indiscreet. I did not care after the first time. In fact, I could not have resisted and had no desire to resist.
When asked by her husband why she told him she had been outraged, she said,
I had several reasons for telling you. One was the neighbors saw the fellow here. Another was I was afraid I had contracted a loathsome disease. And still another was that I feared I might give birth to a Negro baby. I hope to save my reputation by telling you a deliberate lie.
Her husband, horrified by the confession, had Offit, who had already served 4 years, released, and then obtained a divorce.
Okay, listeners, that is the story as it was reported in the book The Red Record by Ida B. Wells, published in 1895. This book is basically true stories of unjust and unlawful lynchings of black men by violent white mobs in the southern states of the U.S. during the 19th century. Now, just in case you are unaware, a lynching is a murder committed by an angry mob of people without a legal trial for the targeted person. The book heavily emphasizes the fact that the vast majority of these lynchings were the result of false accusations of assault or rape by a black man against a white woman or girl. But as a trained scholar and journalist, Wells did not ignore the reality that interracial rapes did occasionally happen. The only incident in the book that did not take place in the American South is the story of the Underwood scandal. In the book, Miss Wells says that she included the story merely as an example of the fact that in the 19th century, it was not uncommon for allegations of rape to be made as a way to hide the fact of a consensual interracial relationship, notwithstanding that the accusation would almost always bring horrible consequences for the black man, regardless of the truth. However, as we mentioned earlier, there is a mystery connected to the story of Julia Underwood and William Offutt. Specifically, the story behind the story. First, according to Miss Wells, the incident was reported in a newspaper, the Cleveland Gazette, on January 16, 1892. This was a small black-owned newspaper that primarily featured articles that pertained to the interests and activities of the black community. And just like most other newspapers of that time, it frequently included stories of crime, gossip, and scandal. Unfortunately, in the present day, there is no copy of this January 16, 1892 issue that still exists. So, for that reason, we have no way to know if Miss Wells quoted the complete article or if she just summarized the main portions. But this small detail is not the mystery. Here is the thing. This was a story about a scandal that would have been really big news at the time, especially as local news. Now, unlike the Cleveland Gazette, there are complete archives of the two major local newspapers at the time, the Cleveland Plain Dealer and the Cleveland Press, including all issues that were published during the 19th century. Yet, after doing a computerized search of both of those newspapers, there is no mention of anyone with these names, Underwood or Offutt, in connection with this type of incident, within the entire period of 1880 through 1899. This is especially surprising with regard to the Plain Dealer, which had a long history of printing scandalous news during this time period. Furthermore, according to the details contained in the book, Mr. Offutt spent 4 years in prison as a result of the accusations of Mrs. Underwood. However, according to the official archives of the state of Ohio, there is no record of anyone named Offutt ever serving within the Ohio prison system within that time period. Finally, according to the U.S. Census, from 1870 through 1900, there is no record of any person in Ohio with the names of the individuals mentioned in the story. So, listeners, here is the mystery. Did this alleged scandal actually happen? Did these people even exist? Unfortunately, there does not seem to be any independent evidence, but who knows? Ida B. Wells was an awesome journalist who publicized many cases of injustice and unlawful racial discrimination. However, in regard to this story, we wonder if she was duped by some unknown person, or perhaps, completely unknown to Miss Wells, the Cleveland Gazette simply published a terrible but untrue article, simply to sell newspapers. Well, listeners, we don't know, and we don't want to guess, but perhaps someone among our many listeners has the answer, or the resources to find the answer. So, with that being said, we have come to the end of this very strange mystery.
Unfortunately, it's highly unlikely that this mystery will ever be solved.
It's crazy. Ugh.
So, with that being said, we are just going to move along.
But first, we want to thank our excellent guest narrator. So, please, come up to the microphone, take a bow, and tell our listeners anything that you want them to know about you.
Hello, I am Samantha Thompson. I was the co-host of the Spooky Adventures of Alec and Sam podcast. I may be bringing that podcast back as the Spooky Adventures of Sam, so stay tuned. We watched Ghost Adventures episodes and made fun of them quite relentlessly. I am also the voice of Sprightly Pool, a character on the Hot Copy Radio Theater. And I also do other voiceover work on top of that. So if you'd like to reach out to me in order to talk to me about that, please go ahead and send me an email at samikt888@aol.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. I am at Spontaneous Sam. You can follow me on Instagram and all of the things. So if you want me, there's where you find me.
Hey, you were wonderful. Great job. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much again. You did a great job.
Now, next, we will move on to our regular segment, Police Blotter and Court News.
Except, it hasn't been very regular lately.
Yeah, it's been kind of random. But we will try to avoid that in the future.
Now, if you are a regular listener, you will know that on this segment, we typically feature a list of maybe a dozen or so tiny tales of true crime from 100 or more years ago. Crimes that were committed by small-time crooks or other random people and whose names ended up in a newspaper column after the local court issued a decision in regard to their case. But every so often, we dedicate a police blotter segment to a single story, rather than a dozen or more.
Although, it will still be approximately the same length as a typical regular police blotter segment.
Our column on this segment was published on June 1st, 1850, in the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
And, by the way, just in case you were wondering, we had no plans to have two stories with a Cleveland connection on this episode. It was just a random thing which simply happened.
Now, with all of that having been said, here we go.
Police Blotter and Court News.
Order in the court.
Municipal Court, Cleveland, Ohio, June 1st, 1850. Never were our citizens more shocked than by a rumor prevalent in the streets yesterday that an old resident and a highly respected individual had been detected in stealing a trunk from one of our riverfront warehouses which detection had led to the development of a series of grand and petty thefts, extending back through several years and amounting in gross to a large sum. The gentleman is Horatio Ward of Ohio City, who has done business in Cleveland for over 15 years and is most respectively connected, and to all outward appearances, a most worthy member of the community and his church. But, as the evidence indicates, it has been his habit for many years to visit this city in a one-horse buggy, then hitch his horse near some warehouse or store, walk inside, as if he was there to do business, and, knowing that he had been formerly a dry goods merchant, and otherwise respectably connected in business, would be unsuspected. He would take such occasions to help himself, when unobserved, to such items as he could stow away in his buggy and cover with a buffalo robe, which he always carried with him. He would then drive home to his barn, which was some distance from his house, and climb into a loft through a trap door which was always kept under lock, in which he would deposit his stolen pelf. There was no access to this garret, except through the aforesaid door, which could only be reached by the use of a ladder, or by standing on the seat of the buggy. It seemed to be entirely in the keeping of Mr. Ward himself, with his family knowing nothing about it. What led to this discovery was the missing of a trunk from the warehouse of Handy and Harmon Company yesterday morning. It was full of goods, to be forwarded that day to a gentleman in Logan County. Mr. Ward was seen about 10 o'clock in the morning by a grocer who was on his way to his shop. He noticed Ward ride up, hitch his horse as usual, and pick up a trunk from the street, put it in his buggy, cover it with his buffalo robe, and drive off. The trunk was soon missed, and just as soon, it was gone track of. A search warrant was put into the hands of Constable McKinney, who searched the barn and other premises of Ward. The secret loft was found, and shortly afterward, the missing trunk was found, as well as several others, containing a large quantity of miscellaneous stolen articles. The canvas covering the trunk and having on it the directions had been torn off, and the lock was broken, with the contents apparently examined but not removed. Another trunk, stolen a few days earlier from the warehouse of Hubby and Hughes, was also recovered, as well as a case of leather boots, dry goods, such as silks and broadcloth, and hosiery. Several articles had been identified as belonging to various merchants on Superior Street. For the first theft, Mr. Ward was arrested and, without examination, gave bail in the sum of $1,000 for his appearance in court next Monday. He was immediately afterward put under arrest for the charge of stealing the trunk from Hubby and Hughes and was jailed after being unable to pay the bail amount of $1,500, and he remains in jail. Since his arrest, several operations of this kind, known but to a few, have been brought to light, and for which he has either explained, apologized, or paid to keep secret. It is one of the strangest, as well as most painful, cases of moral wrongdoing in the annals of crime. Mr. Ward is known to be wealthy, and has abundant resources to increase his wealth, independent of this. He is an active businessman, owns land and houses in Ohio City, a farm and mills nearby, has a store in Milwaukee, in which he has a partner, and for which it seems he acted as its Eastern thieving agent. His relatives, so for us we know, are considered respectable, and his connections by marriage are highly so. It is strange, very strange, that he, without any necessity or apparent excuse of any kind, should bring this calamity worse than death upon himself, his family, and friends.
I hereby declare this court is adjourned.
And that is the end of our police blotter and court news for June 1st, 1850. But before we move on, we would like to thank our narrator and other guest voices on the police blotter segment. So please take a moment, step up to the microphone and tell our listeners any little thing that you would like them to know about you.
Hello, my name is Mia Aurora, and I have been a voice actor since 2020. I do not have my own website just yet, but you can find my voice acting profile on the website Casting Call Club, and my username for that is MiaVA96. I also have a Discord and Twitter profile with just my first and last name, Mia Aurora. For business inquiries, my email is miaauroraVA@gmail.com. That's spelled MiaAurorahVA@gmail.com. Some of my more recent vocal roles have revolved around deeper feminine, tomboyish, confident type of female voices. I've actually been doing a lot of voice acting roles that require me to scream, cry, or just sound like I'm in agonizing pain. So it's been an interesting couple of months with that. And anyway, I hope you have a great day.
Hello, my name is Andrea Howard, and I'm a freelance voice artist. If you'd like to use my voice for your next project, you can reach me at my email at Andrea Nicole Howard, that's HAUWERT, @gmail.com. Thanks, and look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, this is Jerry Kokich. I'm a voice actor, and I'm always working on my craft. You can contact me at 310-403-4463, or my email at jerrykokich@yahoo.com.
Many, many thanks to everyone. That was terrific. Thank you.
Great job. Thank you so much.
Now, listeners, we would very much like to be able to tell police blotter stories from the 19th century newspapers of your city or town.
So if you have the time and ability, just send it to us by email, and we promise to use it as soon as we can. The address is forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com.
Now, at this point, we would normally move forward to our recommendations and advice segment. However, because our co-host Jessica is not with us on this episode, we will skip that segment until next time. Sorry about that.
But we do have one recommendation from both of us, specifically if you like this podcast. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us on Apple Podcasts, also known as iTunes. And if your favorite streaming service carries this show and allows you to give a rating on there, please be sure to rate us 5 stars on that service also.
Listeners, in addition to reviews, we would be so thrilled to hear from you directly. Just send an email to forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear your suggestions, comments, or any other input regarding this show. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just use the search feature and you'll find us.
And if you might be interested in talking with me personally about the show or anything else, you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter and send me a DM. But it might be a little tricky to find me on Facebook because there are a few people with names that are very similar. So if you use the search feature on Facebook, you should be able to find me if you type Kit Karen but with a hyphen in between. In other words, type KIT-CAREN. There is also a link in the show notes in case you get totally lost. But it's a lot easier to find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @KitKaren, and I'll spell that for you, @KITCAREN. However, no matter what way you contact me, Facebook or Twitter, I want you to know that I practically tingle every time I hear from any of you, and I promise to reply. Just be nice. That is the only thing that I ask. So, do we have a deal?
Now, listeners, in case you haven't already figured it out, we give you all of these different ways of contacting us because we truly like hearing from you.
It's true.
And listeners, if you've made it this far, welcome to the end of the episode.
But before we wrap up, I'm going to take a minute to share a weird historical fact that we just don't have enough free time to investigate as to whether or not it's actually true. So I guess you might call this an alleged fact rather than an actual fact. And with that being said, here it is. On July 2nd, 1955, Pan Am Flight 914 took off from a New York City airport headed for Miami, Florida. This plane was a Douglas DC-4 with 57 passengers and 6 crew members. The flight was scheduled to last a couple of hours, but it never arrived in Miami. Instead, it showed up in Caracas, Venezuela, unannounced and invisible to radar, on March 9, 1985. The pilot immediately shouted his concerns to the tower. He then made a perfect landing and taxied toward the gate. The ground handlers could see the faces of the passengers who were screaming with their faces pressed against their windows. The pilot suddenly made a hasty turn and took the plane back to the runway. It then took off into the sky and disappeared just as mysteriously as it had arrived. Now, this entire story might be just a myth, but we chose to believe it because life is just more fun that way.
And now, on that note, thank you for sticking around and listening to us talk.
Yes, thank you again, everyone, for hanging out with us. And one more thing. Remember, history is no mystery.
So, okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
So, yeah, that's everything. This episode was recorded before a live audience of
us.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. And be sure to listen to our next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.
Truth is sometimes like the stab of a cruel knife. Hi, listeners. This is Kit Karen. Would you like me to make a special audio recording just for you? Or perhaps you would like a recording by Jim or by Jessica. Believe it or not, we are offering you our voices, and each of us are available to record for you. The audio can be almost anything. For example, a short story, a poem, a birthday greeting, a joke, an outgoing voicemail message, a ringtone. Hey, just be creative. I could even be the voice of your pretend girlfriend in Canada. Yes, I can be the proof you need for your folks or your buddies at work or whoever you need to convince. But seriously, this is for real. So, in other words, bottom line, I can record almost anything at all, up to a maximum of 5 minutes. And it's exactly the same thing for Jim or Jessica. Each of the three of us are available for all of your audio needs or desires. However, unfortunately, we can't do it for free, as much as we wish we could. But don't worry, your price for any recording up to 5 minutes is only $5. That's right, listeners, only $5. So, if you would like to have my voice, or Jim's voice, or Jessica's voice to record something for you, I will now quickly tell you exactly what you need to know. Just go to the address bar on your computer, laptop, or whatever device that you are using, and type paypal.me/forgottennewspodcast. I'm going to repeat that. So grab a pen and write this down. paypal.me/forgottennewspodcast. And then simply send the sum of $5. You, of course, will also need to send an email to forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com that says which one of our voices that you want. You will also need to tell us exactly what it is that you want to have recorded. You can either write it in the email itself, or you can attach a written script or document, or possibly a link to a web page that contains whatever you want recorded. Then we will send you the audio as soon as we can, usually within a week from when we receive your payment. But if you have a specific deadline for the recording, please let us know, and we will immediately let you know if it is a deadline that we can do or not. So, in a nutshell, I have just told you how you can get our voices, any of our voices, on an audio recording of your choice. Although, we each reserve the right to reject any request for any reason. But honestly, if we do that, we will issue you a full refund. However, for the most part, we are willing to record almost anything, up to 5 minutes, for the low, low price of only $5. And we look forward to getting your requests. Thanks so much.